Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Cafe Esoterica Radio. This is your hostess, Sean Margaret Cohen, and I'm back with my new podcast all about healing the heart called The Shape of My Heart. I want to explore the subject of unresolved emotions like fear, heartbreak, abandonment, childhood wounds, grief and loss, and any other subject that blocks healthy love. And I want to share my techniques, which I've used over many decades with myself, as well as my clients and students, to heal these issues once and for all. So pull up a cozy chair as the autumn leaves fall and the winter winds whip, and settle in. Why not pour yourself a nice cappuccino or herbal tea or perhaps some old wine and listen to stories taken from my own life's experiences as well as my many, many, many clients and students and your calls. We'd love to have your calls about heartbreak and how to heal it. I'm taking you deep within the heart of the matter every Thursday from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. UK time, 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and 11 a.m. to 12 noon Pacific Standard Time, and worldwide. Just find your time zone and dive in. You can share your stories of love, heartbreak, and loss too, and victory over adversity in our chat room as we go live on blogtalkradio.com, and also follow us on Stitcher, Podbean, TuneIn, and Spotify. And email the show, please do. We'd love to have your emails on theshapeofmyheart@seanmcohen.com. Call in the show, please. We'd love to have your calls on area code 516-387-1492. And we have our own private Facebook group. So if you want to do all the techniques and follow along with us, please go to Facebook and just put in the search, The Shape of My Heart, and we'd love to have you there. Let's get healed. Welcome to my new heartfelt podcast. I'm so pleased to be back and have you with me, called The Shape of My Heart. How's the shape of your heart? Let's find out together, shall we?
It's really me. It's me, myself, and I. Welcome to Shape My Heart with Sean and Cohen. And tonight's episode 4, I'm just working a couple things here. We've got Blog Talk Radio. The chat is open. If you want to come and talk to me, go to blogtalkradio.com/Cafe Esoterica Radio. You'll find the live show broadcasting there, but you can't see me there. If you want to see me, and it's a bit dark on the old Instagram, I don't know how to get a light under there that actually works. Maybe, I don't know, it still looks too dark. I don't know how to make it lighter. That's a little bit better if I hold it up. I can't do the whole show holding up the phone. But you can come over to my YouTube channel, which is go to YouTube and put in, in the search, radio. And find me here, and you can see me. Hello to everyone out looking in. I see Joy, Leona Patterson. Hello. A Patterson has joined. That's nice. And welcome, Joy, as well. So if you can hear me and you can see me, then give us a shout. Say hi. Tonight's show is going to be very, very, it's very sensitive. If I just want to put a little warning out there, if you feel that maybe it's not for you, okay. And I started this podcast, episode 4 now, so 4 weeks in, to talk about basically heartbreak. What blocks healthy love and what could actually help heal? Because many people all over the world, I have to vote on our kids. I can't see what I'm doing here. People in the world suffer is clear in the look at the state of the world, and you can well see it. And we've lost a lot of people over this time. Things are going crazy for people. They don't understand what's happening. They're not alone. I question everything. And I also feel that it's a very precarious time to be a human being on planet Earth. But nothing can take the place of absolutely destroying a child through sexual abuse. Nothing. Now, sexual abuse is so rampant. One in four children are sexually abused, usually someone they know. That's usually a family member, and or a teacher, or someone they trust. Many hundreds of thousands of children get stolen every single day, and this is what has been really exposed in Trump's office and the whole island story, which is vile as it gets, really. This is a man who ran Disney of all places. And, you know, if you're a pedo, what a great place to work in. And just all these innocent children. And steal them away to some island or some underground place where this is just and some of them are as young as babies. Now I heard, because you hear it, you can't help it, it's on the news all the time, that children are actually being born to become these sex slaves. So what are we going to do, world? Are we going to sit back and pretend it doesn't happen? Are we going to stick our head in the sand and say, well, it didn't happen to me, so what do I care? But every fourth person you meet, something like this has happened to. And those are the ones that actually admit it. If you count all the ones who never admitted it, never told the official office of the con so they could take statistics about it, then you look at the fact that many, many, many children repress these memories. They have to, otherwise they can't function. They can't survive. A dozen times, or what about the father? His daughter in Germany, in Bulgaria, literally sucked her in his basement and raped her continuously throughout her life. She bore two or three of his children. That's the kind of crap that's out there. And if you're a soul and it happens to you, this is something that you can, it affects every single part of your life. It affects your relationship. It affects your ability to have relationships and have healthy relationships, which is important. Yes, you have a relationship, a healthy relationship, a relationship where it's not just you giving all the time, but it's give and take, it's mutual respect. Often, and I have all my notes here, I'm just going off line all this very well. I've worked with many, many people who've had these issues, including myself. So just put it out there. I'm a survivor of sexual abuse and in my childhood. Yes, I am. And I am one of four. And this show means a lot to me to get this out into the public and to tell people about why it's so important to heal from this and how it affects every part of your life. But let's go back to the beginning. I hope you can still see me on Instagram. I see myself, so you do. And also live streaming on YouTube, right? So hopefully, yes, nobody's in the chat room. Okay, I have to move the phone in order to see. Terribly sorry, it's a bit table. There you go. Now I'm 64 years old. I'm a spring chicken. Okay, you alive? When I was young, nobody ever uttered the word sexual abuse. In fact, sexual harassment was de rigueur. Men were doing it day in and day out. They were doing it at the office, doing it at work. they were doing it at home, they were doing it, you know, that was what it was like to be a man in the 1960s and 70s. They would have this whole free love thing come up. And you, hello, Patricia. Nice to see you, Patricia. Very nice to see you. Thank you for coming. Very nice. Thank you. We're talking about recent childhood. We're talking about heartbreak of healing sexual abuse. It's a very heavy subject. I'm here to tell you that people can get better, that survivors of sexual abuse can have healthy relationships eventually once they work out their issues. And I do believe that, you know, it's almost like, I hate to say this, I hesitate to say this. You know I'm a psychic, you know I'm a medium. I feel like in some instances, surviving this may be a route to becoming a great counselor for this. Not in every instance. Sometimes a soul, especially the spiritual kind of thing, sometimes a soul will go into some very heavy, dark stories in order to understand with compassion how anyone could survive this stuff and still have a healthy, you know, so-called life. And if you go to, like alcoholism, if you go to AA, you see people trying to survive being an alcoholic. The good ones come around and become counselors. Same with Narcanon, you know, Narcotics Anonymous, I should say. So they've gone through all the drug abuse and come out the other side and they help people to be clean. So in some cases, please don't misquote me here. Say all. The soul will experience and say, and let this destroy me. Or I can stand up, I can understand that the person who abused me was mentally ill, because it is a mental illness among many other things. And I'm going to be stronger than that. I'm going to find a way to heal myself. I'm not going to deny it. I'm not going to ignore it. Many children who were sexually abused when I was young be afraid to tell parents. In the 50s and 60s and some of the 70s, it started to relax a little bit in the 70s. Children didn't confide in their parents. They confided in their friends, maybe. The parents were looked at. I mean, I grew up in a great neighborhood. I had a lot of great friends growing up, but this was something that was never, ever, ever discussed. You would never, ever, ever, this wouldn't cross your mind that anyone close to the family or someone would do something like this. And in the self-consciousness raising era of the late 60s, going into the 1970s and eventually the 1980s, that we begin to see books about sexual abuse. John Bradshaw, who wrote The Family, I discussed that book last week. It's great. It's an older book, but it's still great. He talks about the dysfunctional family. He talks about how things can go wrong and why. And it would behoove anyone to get the book. Today we're going to talk about what happened. What happened to the dysfunctional family? Why did things happen? And how can they be prevented? And then I also want to talk about heads up, why so many children are stolen, and what you can do to really open your eyes and open your ears and start to, you know, be the person who prevents, be the person who is not much ahead, that you would never, ever, ever be a helicopter mom, which is the other children I'm looking at. But I think today we have established that these things go on. And as horrible as they are, you know, prevention is 9/10 of the cure. Don't leave your children with strangers. A babysitter who's qualified, bona fide, you check all common sense, really, but you've checked all the, you know, references. is important. It's so important. We, when my daughter was little, we had all the au pairs, and some of these au pairs were from Poland, here in London, you know, whatever. And I checked every reference, and the references even be mine, you know. And I would go to work. God, is my daughter gonna be there when I get back? And I still work because I know, you know, it sounds like your children are concerned. You have to really look out for them. You have nieces and nephews or your grandparents. You know, it's really important. I said it at the beginning of the show, 1 in 4 children are sexually abused. What does it do? That's just the ones that admit it, and that's just the stats we know. The ones that are sexual abuse memories are repressed, you would say, no, that never happened to me. Yes, you have all the symptoms. You have symptoms of trauma, the body displays it. It reflects in the way you live your life. And people say, well, how does it reflect? What do you mean? What are you talking about? If you keep having relationships that are abusive, the first time, if you yourself are promiscuous, you're over promiscuous. And what is over promiscuous? Well, let's just say you don't care if you're sleeping there. Sexual abuse has happened in China. If you are, you have an inability to be intimate with someone, tremendous fear. The body, there's a great book, and I have it here in my notes, and I'll just jump to it because it's a really, really good book to get. It's called The Body Keeps the Score. And Mind, Brain, and Body in the Transformation of Trauma. And it's by Bessel, B-E-S-S-E-L, Der Van Kolk, K-O-L-K. And in this book, it talks about how trauma is lodged in various points of our body. And if trauma is lodged in various points of our body, it will show up in various ways. So eating disorders are pretty clue that the child has been abused in one way or another, whether it's physical, emotional, mental, or sexual, right? And even chronic illness, we know, is linked back to abuse in childhood, sexual abuse, emotional abuse, and violation, really. And so, look at all the people who are chronically ill. So, this just gives you some clue to the vastness of the problem. And why do we abuse our children? Why would anyone do that to a child? Well, let's go there, shall we? You know, abusers are usually, by default, children who abuse themselves. So you have half the category. The other half will grow up to never do that. Will learn from childhood, never do that to my children. I, you know, made them protect children, overprotective of their children. So you have that split. Now, why would anyone hurt a child if they themselves suffered that? I'm going to give you something that's really interesting here. It's the mentality is power. It's not sexual, you know, satisfaction, really. It has more to do with power. Rape of a woman or even a man at any age is about control and power. And so who would do something like this? Well, let's give you the list. We have narcissists who have no regard whatsoever for the other person. If your mother or father, let's just go with the male to the female, but it can be any sex and it can be any age. Either one of them were narcissistic. You know, narcissism isn't self-esteem or self-love. It isn't loving myself too much. It's having no regard for other people. So you could steal things from them and could care less. You could rob them blind. You could, you know, set their house on fire if you felt like it. and you could rate them too, and it wouldn't matter to you. It was all about power. Narcissists get off on power. If you are a psychopath, same story. No regard for other people. A lot of manipulation, but definitely no regard. And if you're a sociopath, you know, and these people manipulate people to do their bidding, but often they these are isms. These are genuine mental disorders, right? Now, when I was looking up a lot of things about this, right, I thought to myself, how would you, if you went through something as horrific as this, how could you possibly heal? Well, of course there's therapy, isn't there? Therapy is the number one place to go to. And if you need a good therapist, try the NSPCC.uk. I'll put all the links for everything in our chat room. In my chat room. I could put them in. You know, we have a Facebook group called The Shape of My Heart. Please come there because I put tons and tons of information in there. So go to Facebook, The Shape of My Heart. You'll see it's a private group. Of course, I'll let you in. Just, ask to come in. And have loads of links to information, things you can download, things you can print out, and also a list of books to help you. But one of the ways you can get to a therapist is through www.nspcc.org.uk. That's here in the UK. Of course, they have the NSPCC in America too. Okay, and it really is the letters, if you will, if you don't know and you never heard of this before, is stands for the National Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Children, and they have counselors. They have all kinds of information to help people who've been abused. And if you suspect someone is abusing a child, you can call there too. You know, a lot of people go through things that are so traumatic, they can never have a healthy adult life. They can never have a relationship. They probably work at the lowest job. They can never create a decent income for themselves because they've had such trauma. And that trauma is often repressed with drugs, with alcohol, with compulsive behavior, with overspending, gambling, porn. That's another thing. So their sexual appetite, if you will, can become very corrupted. They don't understand that sex is an act of love. They miss that. When you take away the innocence of a child, you have basically robbed them of something so sacred. You might as well cut their arm off. You know, we need our children to be innocent, to believe in goodness, and to believe that there are good adults out there that want to support them and help them, like their teachers, like their priests, like their rabbis, like their Boy Scout leaders. And while I was doing the research for this show, you can't even believe it. I mean, it's shocking for me to tell you this. I have it here. I had to write it down. The most recent news is 90,000. So that's not 9,000. That's 90,000 cases filed because of sexual abuse in the Boy Scouts. It's so shocking, isn't it? The Boy Scouts, if you don't know, London is a wonderful city. I know my friend Patricia knows that. And I love living here, right? But Baden, I think the surname is Baden. I can't remember. Baden Powell, is that it? That comes to mind. He created the Boy Scouts here in London. And there's still a big, where they used to meet, a big place, like a building. So it's so sad to think that those poor young boys are going in there to learn how to be, comrades and learn how to hike and learn how to, I don't know, create a campfire or something. And this is what happens to them. In the same reference of the pedo priest in my own hometown of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, I have to say it because it's so shocking. 300 Catholic priests were arrested for pedophilia. 300, not one or two, which is bad enough. 300. So the children who grew up in going to those churches, maybe being in a choir, okay, maybe going after school, thinking that they were getting close to God. I'm sure the parents thought, what is the safest place in the world for my children to be? Oh, it's church, the priest. But what happened is the priest sexually abused the child. Now the child's brain becomes completely wired in a different way, in a very toxic way. And this is the other thing. Our brains are wired for love and intimacy in a good way, you know, using proper boundaries as parents. When you bond with your mother when you're born, I mean, not everyone gets that. You know, children are given up for adoption and what have you. But let's just say that when you're bonding after the birth, you bond with your mother. That bonding sets off all kinds of all kinds of positive, you know, the brain is firing like crazy and creates the neurons that connect to love. You know, you get all the positive, you know, like dopamine and what have you, all the bonding sort of hormones come in there. When you've been with your mother 6 months, a year, 2 years, you begin to separate from your mother too. And you begin to realize, oh, she and me, this is for boys and girls, you know, we're not the same person. It's, you know, it's so beautiful that God made us like this, you know, or whatever you believe. But if you understand the just the physicality of it as well as the emotion, you know, that the head knits together at two. It's almost like a little soul can come and go out of its body, you know, because it was used to being a big soul before it got here. And then at two, it's like, okay, this is your life now. You kind of get in there and stay in there and, you know, walk this path. This is your life. And it begins to separate from mommy and it says, okay, you're you and I'm me. It begins to understand that it's a separate individual. And what happens is it goes towards its father. Now, this is true for every single child. This is psychology of children. And they're learning that independence. If the child is sexually abused by the father at that point, what do you think that child is going to learn? It's going to learn that it can't be independent from its mother because it's so scary, that the father is not to be trusted, that the father doesn't love it, you know. And often, if it's not the father, it could be an uncle, it could be a grandparent, it could be anyone, right? But usually, the stats show us that this happens within the family. It's sad. It's so sad. So now you have a child who, perhaps for the first 2 years of his life, was, you know, okay. And then this happens. And then the child has all the neurons that were so positive begin to fire in a negative way. Fear. You know, sexual abuse of a child at two must be a horrific experience for that child. You know, just the sheer physicality of it. If you talk about children who are 5, 6, 8, you know, there's no comfort in this experience. You know, pedophilia is on the rise to the point where I actually saw through Facebook a book that is a children's book. I couldn't believe it. It's kind of saying, oh, Uncle So-and-so has come over to stay and he's sleeping with little Timmy. And he's showing little Timmy all his body parts. And then they have this big cuddle at the end. And, you know, it's perfectly normal for Uncle Timmy. And I couldn't believe it. So there is a collective, you know, disgusting, vile, you know, pedophilia programming out there aimed at children. And we see it all the time in children's fashion. We see it, my little girl, I used to take her to Primark, which is, you know, it wasn't a bad place 20 years ago. It was a big, and they had, you know, we'd buy some clothes there for her. And they would have bras for girls that were like 4 years old. No, this is wrong. They would also have little shirts for little girls that says sex on it. You do not promote a child. You don't have a child walking around with a t-shirt that says sexy on it. This is pedophilia. This is to attract the attention of pedophiles. You know, I don't understand the mothers who do something like that. I really don't, because if you love your daughter or your son, because it happens to both, you don't do this. You don't put them forward. Now, this is another thing, and then we'll go on to some solutions, but this just came in too from Florida, where I used to live, and this was today's news. Today's news. I couldn't believe it. I was typing everything up from a show, and this is the latest news out of Florida. I think it's out of Tallahassee, Florida. Another sad case is a teenage girl who was basically sold by her own mother. Yeah, her own mother. Okay. I mean, it's shocking, to over 200 pedos to have underage sex with her. This case was recently revealed online. The police arrested 200 pedos who exploited one teenage girl aged 13 to 14. It's just sickening what's out there. So, you know, we could go on and on. I could go on and on and on, you know, about what has happened to our innocent children. In Facebook, you see a lot of things, save our children. And if you love children and want to keep them safe, for God's sake, don't leave them with strangers. Don't walk away for a minute in a grocery store and leave them in an aisle by themselves. Don't put them on a park bench while you go, you know, get something out of the car. Never leave your child alone by itself, okay? If you're taking them to McDonald's and there's, you know, some kind of plaything in there, watch them. Don't walk away. Don't go to the bathroom and leave them by themselves. These are just simple ways. I see where I live in Kilburn here in London. Women walk by all the time. The child, 2 years old, 3 years old, 4 years old, is like at least 30 feet behind the mother, walking by itself. What kind of parenting is that? Sometimes the father too. Oh, I'm a man, so I don't have to hold my child's hand. It's ridiculous. The child doesn't know, you know, the city streets. So we have to get conscious. We have to stop pretending the world is Disneyland. As you can see, the guy who ran Disneyland exploited and stole all these young girls and boys to have sex with all these celebrities and these politicians. It's a sick, sad world. So let's protect ourselves, our children. Let's educate our children, okay? I had this discussion with my daughter when she was about 6 or 7 years old. And I said to her, anyone comes near you and wants to touch you in the places that you know you shouldn't be touched, and I had to explain everything as you do, you run and tell someone else. You run and tell a teacher. You run and tell me. You can call me because I gave her a phone to go to school with. You know, these are the ways that you can protect your children. And the other thing, too, of course, is the pedophile always, the abuser always says, don't tell. If you tell, I will come and kill your mother. If you tell, I will kill you. The children have to tell the truth. They have to be able to find someone they can tell. And if you have nieces and nephews, you know, tell them this. You can come to me if someone bothers you. You can come to me if someone bullies you. You can come to me if someone has tried to touch you in an inappropriate way. Children must have this safety net, and they must be able to trust someone. sometimes they can't trust their own parents, but they might be able to trust an aunt or uncle or a grandparent. Sometimes they can trust, you know, an older sibling, you know, but sometimes it's the older sibling who rapes the child. So, you know, we have to be really conscious about it. Okay. Other than the NSPCC organization, there are many other organizations out there that help adults who survive sexual abuse, and I want to talk about them right now. One of the best ways, of course, is to work with a therapist, as I said, and go to a therapist that's specific for this, because a lot of therapists may not be trained in, they might be trained in trauma, but not sexual abuse. Sexual abuse is a whole nother level of learning for them, right? So it's very important to go to a therapist who actually knows what they're doing in this department. Now, I mentioned some of the books, and I'll go back and say some more. So we have a very, very big book that came out, I think it was in the 90s, The Courage to Heal, A Guide for Women Survivors of Child Sexual Abuse by Ellen Bass, B-A-S-S, and Laura Davies. And that book I remember coming out, I'm pretty sure it was the 90s, right? And another great book, other than The Body Keeps the Score, which I mentioned already, is Waking the Tiger, Healing Trauma. This book was an international bestseller by Peter A. Levine and Carolyn Ainscough and Kay Toon. And finally, just on the book, there are many good books out there. These are just the ones that I've read and I know about. This is the one I have, and this is called Rescuing the Inner Child, Therapy for Adults of for Sexual Abuse Children by Ken Park. Now, sometimes, and this has also happened in the history of trauma therapy and child, some people have had false memories implanted under hypnosis. This is a whole nother level. We could do a show just on this. But I must bring it up because I feel it's very important. I'm going to tell you a story about myself. It's not a pretty story. If it's too much for you, by all means leave. But I survived sexual abuse in my family. My older brother, mentally ill, God only knows what my parents did to him before I showed up. But, you know, he really was always raging, violent, angry. And, you know, he really was not right in the head. And me and my siblings, that's my younger sister, my younger brother, we, like kids do, you don't understand. He would get really violent, be violent. And I would come home to school, my mother wouldn't be there, there'd be no one home. My sister. So that's abuse. Now I'm 14. I'm beginning to mature as a young woman, and he's hiding in my closet while I'm trying to get dressed. And the closet had slots so he could see through it. And I used to catch him because I'd hear something, you know. And now I share this room with my younger sister. She's a year younger. But somehow he always got in there while I was changing or getting ready for, you know, I'd go out with my friends or whatever. And it escalated and escalated to the point I told my parents, I told my mother, I don't know how many times she would call his name and say, stop it. That was it. She never really addressed him, his problems. My father refused to take him to therapy. No son of mine is going to therapy. Of course, he got worse, didn't he? So at a certain point, I was probably 15, and this is maybe 14 going on. And I had met my first boyfriend, so I was very much in love with my boyfriend, and he was 16, and that's the one who died, and, you know, I'm doing a musical, writing a musical about him. But he was lovely to me, and he showed me really that what love is. And he never pressured me. exciting and fun to be with. And, you know, we had our little arguments, but never, it was never cruel to me, right? But in my home growing up, there was an awful lot of cruelty. And I don't know why my mother couldn't cope with this. I don't know what the problem was really. But one day it was downstairs in the den. I came in and my brother was down there masturbating. And I was shocked. I walked in and there he was. And he put his fist to my face and he made me watch him do that. And I've never told anyone. I'm telling the entire world this story. I have never revealed that to anyone except my therapist. And I had to, under threat of being beaten up. Now, remember, he used to beat me up a lot when we were growing up. I had to sit there and watch that. And when he was done, I ran out of the room. I locked my bedroom door and I cried and I think I threw up. When you abuse your sibling or your children, the trauma is so great. And here I was just in love with my first boyfriend. So I know how this affected me, but I never knew how deep the effect of it went. And actually, once I got to London and I was working as a counselor, but really with my psychic work, I met a wonderful student of mine, and I was 30 years old at this point. And she was interested in what was happening in the metaphysics classes. She was a student of mine, and she was learning a lot, and she was raised up north in Manchester, and she lived here in London with her husband, and they were great people. I really loved them. And she started telling me the story about, you know, she thought she would like to go to therapy. And I said, well, pick a good therapist and go. In self-realization, it's important to do therapy. It's important to understand what your history is. It's important to understand how much trauma can affect you, and particularly how it affects not even just you, but now we know 14 generations of trauma can be passed on. So that's your grandparents, your great-grandparents, and so on and so forth. And she started going to a therapist who did hypnosis on her. And under hypnosis, she found out she was sexually abused. And because I was her teacher, and she loved me, I loved her, she was great, she shared this with me. This was really, who can you tell this to, you know? And she said it was, you know, she had a really tough upbringing too. And she said, I can't believe it. I never realized memories can be repressed. In the end, everything she was telling me, I was getting like these hits, you know, like, wow, that sounds like something, you know, wow. You know, it was like my brain was just, you know, waking up to something. And I said to her, you know what, I have, I'm having some kind of like epiphany. I think maybe I should go to your therapist. So I went to her therapist. And I experienced a lot of repressed memories. And these memories were so violent and so horrible that I just thought, how can this be true? How can it be true? In the end, I said to myself, do I have the symptoms of someone who's been sexually abused in childhood? And the answer is yes. I had every symptom. And so I then said to myself, okay, I'm going to have to accept that this is true. Right. Years and years and years later, and I confronted a few people. I confronted my parents, which, of course, there was lots of denial. I met up with my half sister, who shared a story because we share the same father, and she told me something really intimate that happened to her when she was about 5. She's about 8 years older than me, and it was the same story. And how is that possible unless it was true? So I completely believe that I was sexually abused as a child, and I certainly was abused by my older brother. And how this has affected me, and I just couldn't marry anyone, couldn't trust anyone enough. It took me a long time to get over the death of my first boyfriend, and it took me a long time to get over, you know, I would attract men who would hurt me and abuse me and lie to me and cheat on me and so on and so forth. So I had to do a lot of therapy and a lot of inner work to help heal myself. When my daughter was born, I said to myself, this is never, ever, ever going to happen to her. The buck stops here. And thank God I did work before I had her. Sometimes people unconsciously pass on. You know, they leave a child open for the happiness. It can happen anyway. Therapy, and this happened anyway. So I behoove anyone, if you had sexual abuse in your past, or you think you might have it, just like me, I didn't know how much, you know, because it was repressed, then I can promise you that if it looks like it, if it smells like it, if you know the symptoms of sexual abuse, what are the symptoms? Okay, number one, bad relationships. Go there. Difficulty in sustaining a healthy relationship. Not having a healthy relationship with yourself, either being self-abusive, self-harming, you know, doing drugs, doing drinking too much or eating too much, or you know, any eating disorder can be that. Any kind of inability to fit in, inability to find yourself in life. Like a lot of people say to me, I don't know, why am I here? What's my purpose? I don't know why I'm here. I don't even know myself. There's a great amount of soul loss that happens when a child is abused. And what that means is, if you've ever heard my shows on Cafe Esoterica Radio, you know that I had shamans on. And these shamans are so wonderful. And what they do is they do soul retrieval. And soul retrieval is that when a child or a teenager or even an adult is in a traumatic experience, whatever it may be, they will, a part of them will leave. A part of them will literally jettison out of their body from shock. And sometimes that part will not come back. And I believe this happened to my younger sister, you know, because she never really knew who she was. She never became anyone, really, as an individual. I was clearly the stronger one in the family because I did. You know, I found my way through a lot of inner work and therapy. But in a dysfunctional family, it's really, there's a lot of pressure to keep not awake, to keep ill, if you know what I mean, to keep the dysfunction going. Okay? So if you have any symptoms, right, as I mentioned, what if you, some of the symptoms can be money, you know? Sometimes when children are abused, they get, here's a dollar, here's a pound, you know, it's horrible, like a prostitute, you know, here's a dollar, here's a pound. And then money has a whole signature behind it that's really a bad reflection. So sometimes people can never make enough money, right? The root chakra, which is the base chakra, is all about survival. And children who've been sexually abused are stuck in the root chakra. So it's survival of the fittest all the time. You know, the huge anxiety, huge, sometimes compulsive behavior, right? They have to do the same thing 15,000 times. They check the door 500 times before they go to bed and all that stuff. It's all based on, you know, germophobia. A lot of it is based on trauma in childhood, not just sexual abuse, but all kinds of trauma. So it's so important that we raise our children with self-respect, self-love, teach them about their bodies, teach them what is appropriate and what isn't. Don't let them watch porn, for God's sake. Don't let them watch horrible TV shows that are... There was a TV show on Netflix recently called Cuties. I canceled my subscription to Netflix because I... personally, will never support little girls dressing up. I don't care. My mother was a dancer. I love dance. I know that dancing, you can have skimpy outfits on, right? But this was all about the flirt. This was all about about very sexually suggestive, right? You know, there's a thin line sometimes, but then it's very obvious, you know? And so if you find that any of this is going on, you have a voice, raise your voice, right? My voice was raised. I said to the people at Netflix, I don't promote pedophilia. It's a horrible thing. You should never be showing shows like that. And they said to me, well, that's your opinion. I said, it's not my opinion. It's a fact. And then the guy said to me, well, a lot of people have actually canceled us because of it. Well, hello, wake up then and stop putting things like this in our face. We don't want to see it. It's not appropriate, you know, and it's not appropriate for children to see it as well. The other thing I would say, just going back to how you heal, right now there's a lot of, there's cultures in hip hop that talk about, you know, pimps and hoes, right? You know, and you can find young people today, millennials even, are calling themselves hoes. You know, a girl to call herself a hoe, is that respectful in any way, shape, or form? It may be a joke, it may be funny, but words have power and words have meaning. And if you don't know that, be careful what you think, because you can create it. If you love your children, let them listen to music that's uplifting. The words are healthy for them. Not, I killed this man in the hood, you know, whatever. You know, children need healthy minds to become healthy adults. They need you to emulate and show them what love is. You are there. With children, it's often monkey see, monkey do. If the parents are showing love to each other, self-respect to each other, your single mother like I was, I showed my daughter self-worth. I showed her, you know, and even though I was sick with Hashimoto's when she was growing up, you know, I still took care of myself as best as I could. And I think she takes good care of herself today. She's 24 and she always takes care of herself. So I know that if you do it, they're going to do it. Right, we're going to run out of time. I can't believe how quickly this is gone. So let me just say that there's a beautiful, beautiful podcast by Alanis Morissette. Now, Alanis Morissette wrote Jagged Little Pill. And she's very well known for being, you know, very open-minded. She tells it like it is, right? Open-minded. And she wrote this beautiful song. Well, first, let me tell you that she has a podcast. And in that podcast, she talks about things like recovery from sexual abuse as a child. So do go there and check out her podcast. It's on her website, which is www.alanis.com/podcast. And also, there's a way to find a good therapist if you go to psychologytoday.com/US/ this is for the American people, US/therapist/trauma-and-PTSD. Please come into our Facebook group under The Shape of My Heart. I promise you, you'll find all the links that I'm talking about there and all the books. I'm going to put them up now after the show. Love yourself. Love your children. Know that they are the future, literally, right? They are your legacy to this world. If you leave them broken and battered, all the generations ahead will be broken and battered. There's no point in that. It's so destructive. If you've been the slightest bit affected by this broadcast today, and you want me to help you, I can help you too, okay? I am a therapist. And if you would like me to help you find a therapist, I will do that for you too. Just get in touch by going to, you can email me at theshapeofmyheart@seanmcohen.com or cafeesoterica@gmail.com, and I'll get it. Come to the Facebook page. You know, you can shoot me a message on Instagram. You can also shoot me a message on and in our Facebook group. We have 5 minutes left. I can't believe how quick it's gone. Right? But it's very important. important to speak your truth. You are still a good person, even if bad things have happened to you. Heal from trauma, child abuse, and reclaim your life. It's your life. You only get one in each incarnation, right? No one ever has the power to take it away from you. Not a person in your life who has gone through such a trauma. Don't ostracize them. That's not the strategy. Sometimes you feel you're being tricky, and then you go, I don't want to talk to you, which is horrible, really horrible for the survivor. So we all deserve to be loved, even those of us who are abused by someone else out of our control. Love heals when it is given condition. On that note, I'm going to play now this beautiful song. I love this. I just heard it today. To end this called, and listen to the words, because just before it's called That I Would Be Good. And, you know, it's about being loved no matter what happens to you. I'm going to just go over to my Blog Talk Radio studio here and play it out. Here we go. We have, see, where is it? And it's here, 4 minutes and 19 seconds. Goodbye. Good luck, everyone. Take care. As I said, if you need me, I'm here. Okay? And wishing you all the best. Can hear me.
Beautiful song. Gorgeous. She's just telling, you know, no matter what happens to me, you know, will you still love me? You know, that I would be good. Am I good enough for you? And often people who suffer sexual abuse feel that way. They don't feel good enough, ever. I mean, it's a tragedy. They go through their whole lives feeling that they're not good enough, no matter how many things they accomplish. So, you know, we don't want our children, we don't want ourselves to be the same. You're great in my soul. You come to this planet to learn, to grow, to love, to be loved. I hope you've learned something tonight, today, this morning, or in the world. And please come back every week. We have different themes. So I'm doing podcasts. We're up to number 4 now, so we've got 6 more to go. Sorry, 8 more to go. And they're all full of, you know, interesting things that help to emotionally heal the heart. And if you want to them, they're on the archives at Blog Talk Radio, just blogtalkradio.com/cafe. You can see them. Also, I might say they're on Spotify, they're on Stitcher, TuneIn, and also here on YouTube, and you can watch me broadcast them. So I do hope you'll come back every Thursday at the allotted time. It's 7 p.m. in the UK, 2 in the afternoon EST, and 11 a.m. for 1 hour. The show's only an hour long. And just get a little bit of upliftment every week, a little bit of healing, a little bit of knowledge, a little bit of references that could help you to heal. And if you heal, and I heal, we all heal, what a wonderful world it will be. I'll say goodbye, good day, good night, wherever you are. God bless, and see you next week. Thank you for coming. Bye now.